The mountains shake and crumble at your name. The oceans roar and tumble at your name. Angels will bow, the earth will rejoice, your people cry out. Lord of all the earth, we shout your name, shout your name. Fill it up the skies with endless praise, endless praise. Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name, O Lord. At your name, the morning breaks in glory. At your name, creation sings your story. At your name, angels will bow, the earth will rejoice, your people cry out. Lord of all the earth, we shout your name, filling up the skies with endless praise, Yahweh, Yahweh. We love to shout your name, O Lord. Lord of all the earth, we shout your name, filling up the skies with endless praise, Yahweh, Yahweh. We love to shout your name, O Lord. That's within my heart. Fear not, I am with thee, peace be still, in the life of heaven full. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. All my life was wrecked by sin and strife, this will fill my heart with pain. Across the broken streets, stir the slumbering chords again. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go.
Mark and Lindy, gonna play through another verse. Turn to your neighbor and say, good to see you today.
Jesus, sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Soon he's coming back to welcome me, far beyond the starry sky. I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown, I shall reign with him on high. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. My Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that'll be. There is come when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. Wild stormy deep, in Jesus I'm safe evermore.
Well, amen, and welcome to you this morning. We have a good group. We've got a lot of family members come in. We've got a couple of baptisms taking place today, and many of those family members have traveled in to see that, and that's a good thing. A couple of young men that have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ and following him baptism, that's always exciting. We're glad to have all of our other visitors here. We welcome you, appreciate you so much sharing your time with us here at Bible Baptist. Let me just address something that fairly quickly. We just got back from the men's conference, by the way, and it was a fantastic conference. We had some good preaching and good singing and good food and good fellowship. It was all good. And so thank you, men, all of you that were able to go with us on that trip. It was exciting. We had about three people saved out of our group, and so we'll be hearing more from them, be getting them baptized in the very near future. But during the course of that conference and conversation, everything, a lot of times it's the eclipse is kind of coming up, the question about the eclipse, and I guess some people are fairly alarmed if the eclipse is the apocalypse. And you know, who knows? We've had these things off and on throughout history, and it's not been, I mean, I make no really comments other than it looked like a good time for a nap. It's going to get dark. But outside of that, I don't really, so just chill out. If the Lord comes back during the eclipse, it's a good thing, okay? We're good. If you don't know the Lord, then don't chill. You need to talk to me, talk to somebody else, because we want you to know the Lord when he comes back, okay? So that's that. So glad you're here. Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. I think our choir is taking a break after doing their Easter stuff, and so I don't know what he's got lined up for us, but I guarantee it'll be good. Let's ask the blessing and get started back with that, okay? All right. Terry Sackett, will you lead us in prayer, please, sir?
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Bible says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of the Lord. And it's easy to give thanks for the things that we like. But I want to show you just a short video. It's just a little over a minute to remind you about maybe there are some things in life that you wouldn't think about giving thanks for, but we ought to give thanks for. So watch the screens. Join me in a word of prayer, please. Lord, we love you today, and God, we're grateful for all that you do for us. And Lord, sometimes we take for granted just how blessed we are. And God, today I pray that we would think about some of those things that was given to us on the screen. God, we're thankful that you destroy pride in us, because you tell us in your word that you hate pride. And God, I know that it's a difficult thing to go through. There was a time in my life when I was extremely prideful and arrogant. But God, you took that, and I'm thankful. And God, there's been some mighty, mighty high points in my life, mountaintop experiences. But God, there's been some very deep valleys. And God, I'm thankful for those. And God, today I pray that you'd be with our preacher as he comes in just a few moments and he opens the Word of God up and he preaches the message that you've laid upon his heart. God, I pray that you'd use him in a mighty way today. And God, I pray that my heart would be open to what you have for me today, that I'd be receptive. God, I pray that you'd move in our services today. In Christ's name I pray, amen. Would you stand with us, please?
Come behold the wondrous mystery in the dawning of the King. He the theme of heaven's praises robed in frail humanity. In a longing, in a darkness, now the light of life has come. Look to Christ who condescended, took on flesh to ransom us. Come behold the mystery, he the perfect Son of Man, in his living, in his suffering, never traced nor stain of sin. See the true and better Adam come to save the hell-bound man. Christ the great and sure fulfillment of the Christ the Lord up on the tree, in the stead of ruined sinners, hangs the Lamb in victory. See the price of our redemption, see the Father's plan unfold, bringing many sons to glory, grace unmeasured, love untold. Come behold the wondrous mystery, slain by death the God of life. But no grave could then restrain him. Praise the Lord, he is alive. What a foretaste of deliverance, how unwavering our hope. Christ in power resurrected, whence we will be when he comes. Come behold the wondrous mystery, slain by death the God of life. But no grave could e'er restrain him. Praise the Lord, he is alive.
Thank you. You can be seated.
Seated, we'll have a word of prayer. Father, we're so grateful Lord, that we can come to you through your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord. And we know that what he's accomplished for us gives us an opportunity and an audience really with you, Father, that we can talk to you anytime we want and know that our prayers are heard. Father, sometimes we move along here and we move away from you, Father. We do things that are out of line with your will, and the first thing you know, we've drifted from you. And Lord, you're so gracious and so merciful to try to draw us back to you. And I pray, Father, that if that's the case for any one of us this morning, Lord, that we would listen to the message, Lord, that it would not be a message that came from the preacher, but a message that came from you, Lord, that you laid on the preacher's heart. And Father, help us, Lord God, to draw closer to you. Father, if there be somebody here that has never really been in a walk with you, they've never experienced salvation, the forgiveness of sins, and so they don't know what it is, and Lord, they're missing out. And I just pray, Father, that you'll just help them to realize this morning that that they can walk with you, God, if they accept your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we have a great group here this morning. We're excited about the baptisms after the service, but right now we just pray that your Holy Spirit will settle our hearts and our minds, open our ears, and Lord, allow us to just hear from you. And I pray that you'll move in the congregation, both here in this auditorium and in the back as the children are being taught as well. And we'll thank you and praise you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll turn your Bibles over to Genesis chapter 3, we were at the men's conference yesterday, and one of the preachers, maybe that was the night before, but nonetheless, at the conference, one of the preachers got over in Genesis 1, 2, and 3, and I thought, oh, man, he's going to get into my message, and then I'm going to come home, and the men are going to think I copied my message from him, and it's all going to be ugly. But he didn't. He moved around the things I was going to talk about. I prepared this earlier in the week. When we read the Word of God, it's so rich with meaning, with truth, and it's so rich that we can read it day after day, year after year, and still discover new things that we've not seen before, things that we haven't understood before. Well, just oftentimes it's not a whole entire chapter or text that jumps off the page at us and speaks to us, but rather it's a simple phrase or a small detail in a story or an exchange that's taking place. And this morning we're going to look at an example of this. In my Bible reading, in the reading schedule that I use, it always has me in the book of Genesis at the beginning of the year, which is pretty appropriate because the word Genesis means beginnings. And so my Bible reading will have me in Genesis at the first of the year. Genesis is the beginnings of a lot of things. It's a very appropriate title. The beginning of the universe, you can read about the beginning of earth and mankind and animal life. But sadly, it also has the record of the beginning of sin. And for that reason, there's so much that we can learn in these very early chapters about in Genesis about where we are today and how we are today, okay? But this book, Genesis, is hands down my favorite book of the Bible to read, just as far as just the enjoyment of it. 50 chapters, 1,533 verses in the book of Genesis, and it's just a very enjoyable study for me, and I hope you feel the same way. It just happens to be my favorite book. So here in chapter 3, we're going to read the story of Adam and Eve. They're eating of the forbidden fruit. Most all of us are familiar with this chapter, and it's going to obviously the introduction of sin because they ate of the forbidden fruit, and that sin forever changed the dynamics of the relationship between God and man. But we're only going to read the first 9 verses, and then in chapter 9 is where we're going to make camp and find the words, the 3 words that really jump out at us out of this story. Okay, beginning in verse 1, it says, "Now the serpent," we know that that was the devil, Satan, "was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree in the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden,
God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Where art thou? Now right here is the three words that that jump out of this story for me, and it's there's a number of messages along the way. Even in my years here, I've preached on this particular subject before. But what I want to understand about that question that God asked, where art thou? God is asking this question to Adam out of great concern. He didn't come to him. He didn't shout, Adam, what have you done? You've really made a mess of things now, Adam, and boy, are you in trouble, Adam. He just came with the words of concern, said, Adam, where art thou? And here's what we have to understand about God is, yes, he will judge sin. He does judge sin, okay? He's capable of displaying great amounts of wrath, and he, with just a simple word, can call down fire from heaven. Yes, all of that is true. But we do not serve a brutal God. We do not serve an unloving God who is just waiting for the opportunity to condemn us. That's not who we serve. His wrath and his judgments, when they do come, always come on the heels of several steps of love and compassion that are trying to draw us to the right spot in our lives. It's our refusal. It's our failing to be cooperative with those gestures of concern and love that gets us into a point where the chastisement and the correction comes. Those steps that God takes in love and concern are designed to bring us back into his care and to bring us back into sweet fellowship with him. And when he gets no response, then he has to take it a step further. But I'm convinced, folks, that we have to work at being apart from God, because he's continually himself working at the relationship, working to keep us close to him. And in my Bible schedule that I'm reading, and some of you share the same one, so you'll know this, but right now it has us in Jeremiah on Fridays. Our Friday reading is in Jeremiah. And when you read God's message to his children in Jeremiah, to the children of Israel, those words are delivered to them by the prophet Jeremiah. But what you find as Jeremiah pleads with the people is really, it's God pleading with his people to stop their sin, to stop their rebellion, to return to him. He warns them repeatedly of the damage that's going to result by the decisions that they're making. He shares with them in his words how good things can be if they'll get right and walk closely with him. And in reality, that book, when you read it, just shows the great amount of patience that God has with his children. I mean, he really, really works at this deal with us. And this is something that I found in his dealings with myself as an individual. We see it in his dealings with nations, and we also see it with his dealings with the church. If you were to go over to Revelation chapter 1, 2, and 3, and you'd read about the seven churches of Asia Minor, and you find that very principle in dealing with those seven churches. He's compelling them to change some things before it's too late. He cautions them, he warns them, that, hey, if something doesn't get fixed here, there's going to be a problem. But it's all his desire to get those churches back into his will. So God is doing his part in making this relationship work. And so it's with great concern that he asked Adam, where art thou? Where are you? It's as if God's saying, Adam, what's happened? Why aren't you coming out to walk with me this evening? Adam, we usually spend time together. We usually walk and talk. And Adam, I miss you this evening. In a group this size this morning, there's little doubt but that there's someone within the sound of my voice whose relationship with God is strained right now. Maybe many people, maybe dozens of people, whose relationship with God has been hindered. Something has come between the two of you, or the two of us, me and God. Things are not right with him. Well, you can be sure of this, that if things are not right between us and God, the obstacle that's been thrown out there didn't come from God. It came from us. It's happened on our end. We're the sinners. He's the perfectly holy God. And so this morning through this sermon, maybe God is saying to you, where art thou? He said, where art thou, Adam? Insert your name in there, perhaps. Where art thou, Susie? Where art thou, Chris? Where art thou, David? Where art thou, Tricia? Maybe he's chosen this morning to use this very message to ask you that question. With love and concern in his voice, he's calling wayward Christians who were once close to him to return. But here's what often happens. Rather than when we hear from God and he's drawing us to him, rather than make a beeline back to him, we often try some alternative routes. I hear you, God, but let me try this and see if this works. Let me try this other thing and see if it works. Here's one of the things that Adam tried. He tried to cover up his sin. You notice in verse 7, that he and Eve, it says, the eyes of them both were open. They were in this together. And they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Don't you see how foolish that is? They looked so foolish, thinking that somehow they could sew leaves together and cover up their problem, their sin problem. It reminds me of an experience we had many, many years ago, speaking of foolishness. Tom Adams, many of y'all remember Tom. He's helped raise me. He's my brother-in-law, and we cowboyed together for my whole life until I came here. And we were out gathering what we call mavericks. If you're a cowboy, you know what that is. If you're not, it's just a steer or a heifer or bull that's never been caught or branded. They're just kind of feral out there in the pasture. You gather everything else up, and they tend to escape every time. And so you got to go after them. You got to go rope them. And what they'll do is they'll brush up. They get smart. They'll learn to get in the mesquite, and they'll just hide out when they see horses or cowboys coming. And so we were in a pasture one day to go try to catch this maverick that was out there. We knew he was out there, Tom and I, but we had to search for him. But there was no mesquite. All there were these little cedar trees, the little small cedars that you see in the pastures, especially up in the panhandle. And so we're riding along there. We're looking, and Tom waves at me like he waves at me like that. And I come trotting up there, and this about 700-pound steer has no place to hide his body. He's got his head in a cedar like this. And he's just still as he can be. I mean, you see how foolish that is? He thinks he's hiding. He thinks he can get, with his 700-pound body, he can hide out and get away from us in a little tree. That's what Adam did and Eve did. They've got a 700-pound situation with their sin, and they think they can take fig leaves and sew them together and hide from God. They look so foolish. And you and I look equally as foolish when we try to hide our sins. We don't use leaves to cover our sins, but sometimes we use excuses. We rationalize. We try to explain it away. We try little acts of service that maybe will camouflage some of the wrongdoings that we're doing in our lives. We try to slip in a little Sunday morning church that will maybe overshadow the things that are going on in our life throughout the week. We try to justify our actions by measuring them against other people. Well, I've measured against the rest of the world, and they seem to be doing so much worse, so I don't think mine's a problem. Well, folks, it's all foolish. We can't hide our sins from God. He can't be hoodwinked or fooled. He's asking us this morning, where art thou? What's going on here? Then we find another example of routes that we try to take instead of making a beeline to God. And we find it in verse 8. It says, and they, that's he, Adam and Eve both, heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. They had tried to cover their sins. Now they're going to try to hide from God himself. They hid amongst the trees that he created with the idea they could get away from him. When we're in rebellion, we have our own ways of trying to hide from God. We may try to stay clear from church, because at church, oftentimes, we're going to hear the Word of God. Well, not oftentimes, every time. You hear the Word of God, and perhaps we think, well, the Word of God will hit on my sin today, so I'm going to stay home. The Holy Spirit's power is greater, not greater, it's more felt in the presence of God's people, but the gathering of all the Holy Spirit people, there's sometimes a stronger draw of a person, a strong conviction of a person of their sin than they would be if they were by themselves ignoring the Holy Spirit. So we try to hide from God by staying away from church. And so what are we going to do? What's our excuse? We'll pick one. Just draw one out of the hat. Well, that preacher, he's not this. He made me mad. Or I got out of church during COVID, and I just never have gotten back in. Well, that's fine, but get back. Amen. I'm not getting fed there. Well, if you're not getting fed there, then go somewhere else, but get in church. Amen. The music is loud. The temperature's hot. The seats are hard. The walls are painted in their own color. Whatever. But really, we're just making an excuse to avoid God. We can't get away from God by skipping church. It's so foolish. The truth of the matter is, there's no limit to the foolishness that can be found in our lives when we're trying to hide from God. You see, Adam and Eve used to walk with God. They were there in the cool of the evening with him. It was special. They enjoyed it. And then their sin and their rebellion messed it up. And now they're dreading God showing up. It's not something they look forward to. It's not special anymore. And sometimes we as wayward Christians are no different. Maybe you're here and you're wayward. You remember a day when your walk with God was strong. You remember a day when you loved to go to church. You remember a day that you loved to get in God's Word and discover new things. You remember a time when you liked to hear God's voice. Your prayers were sweet. You liked to talk with the Lord. It brought peace and joy to your life. You always walked away from God's the situation feeling fulfilled. Well, this morning God says, where art thou? Why aren't we doing this anymore? We used to walk together. We used to talk together. We used to fellowship. We used to be very close. It used to be very special. Where art thou? Now you're hiding. Why are you hiding? Where art thou? The truth is, Christian, you can't hide from God. You can distance yourself spiritually from him, and in that you don't want to see him, don't want to hear him, don't want to commune with him, but you can't hide from him. Psalms 139 is a great chapter. You don't have to turn there, but it speaks to that truth that you can't get away from God. When I'm going out, God, you're there. When I'm coming in, you're there. When I sit down, you're there. When I rise up, you're there. When I look in front of me, you're there. When I look behind me, you're there. When it's dark, you're there. When it's light, you're there. When I fly up to heaven, you'd be there. If I were to go to the core of the earth, you'd be there. That's what the psalmist is saying. And then David says, whither shall I go from thy spirit, and whither shall I flee from thy presence? The answer to that is nowhere. Nowhere. There's no way to hide from God. And we better come to grips with that. So when God asked the question to Adam, where art thou? It wasn't an inquiry of God to try to find Adam. He knew where Adam was. It was a very loving, rhetorical question designed to make Adam see where he was. It was designed for Adam to open his eyes to his situation, his condition, to cause him to realize his spiritual condition. And there again, it was a question of concern. A gracious, compassionate God looking to someone he loves and saying, what's going on? What's going on with you? The truth is, God could have left Adam alone. He could have said, hey, Adam, you've made your bed. You lie in it. You do your thing, and I'll go off, and I'll find somebody else to commune with. That's not the God we serve. He pursues us. He loves us. He cherishes the time that we have with him. And he's not content to just have us going astray and living our own lives apart from him. He's not content with that. Over in the book of Luke in chapter 15, most of us have read that parable of the prodigal son many times. When that young son rebelled and went off on his own and was wasting his life away, his father was brokenhearted. He never stopped longing for that boy. He never stopped anticipating that boy someday returning. And this is all seen by the fact that the scripture tells us that when the boy did come to his senses and decided to go home, the scripture says his father saw him coming from a long way off. What does that tell us? The father had been looking in that direction the whole time. Ever since the boy left, he'd been looking in that direction for the anticipation of that boy to return. It's as if he were saying, where art thou, boy? Where art thou, son? This is a picture of our Heavenly Father. He longs for those that are apart from him to return to him. There's another parable in that same chapter, Luke chapter 15. It's the parable of the lost sheep. And it reveals us to our Father that he's not only waiting for our return, but he also goes to great lengths to just seek us out. He comes after us. He goes searching for us. That shepherd had in the parable, he had 100 sheep in total, and the one sheep that went astray, he was not oblivious to that. He didn't fail to notice that the sheep was gone. He keeps track of his sheep. He knows their comings and he knows their goings. So out of great concern, the moment that sheep turned up missing, he left the 99 and went off to find that one sheep. This, too, is a parable that gives us a picture of the God we serve. He's not aloof and disconnected. He's not indifferent to our comings and goings. He's watching over us, and he takes steps. When we're moving away from him, he takes steps to bring us back. And if we'll listen, I think we'll hear the words of, where art thou? Do you know how foolish sheep are? They're just dumb animals. And for that reason, they're a very appropriate metaphor for the child of God, because sometimes we're just spiritually foolish, dumb. We'll take a step or two away from God in the wrong direction. And in his grace, he makes it very simple for us to make the quick correction and get right back to him. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. He just makes it very easy. All we got to do is recognize what we're doing and say, man, God, I'm sorry. I'm confessing to you what I've done wrong. And then you're right back in step with God. He makes it so easy. But like sheep, we don't take the easy route. We keep moving away. And a sheep will keep moving away and moving away aimlessly until they're met with their own destruction. Don't do that this morning if you're a child of God. You've moved away. Well, that's done. You can't fix that. You've drifted. But you're still within the sound of His voice. And He's saying, where art thou? What's going on? Where are you? Why are you stepping away from me? He wants us to recognize where we are. He already knows where we are. The question's, so we'll realize where we are. He wants us to know the words of 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. He invites us to do that very thing this morning. Hey, just come to this altar or right there in your pew, wherever, and just bow your head and say, God, I'm sorry. I want to be back in step with you. I want to walk with you. But folks, we can't cover our sins, and we can't hide from God. So if you find yourself distanced from God this morning, guess who moved? God didn't move. We moved. So what we have to do is go back to that place where we moved. We don't just try to walk back in step with God and come back. And it doesn't work that way. He wants us to address where we left off. He's not asking for us to come crawling back and pay penance and all of this. No, He's just saying, I want you to see your problem. Let's go back to that problem and let's deal with that, and we'll go on from there. But we can't just brush it off like it never happened and just think we're going to start walking in sweet fellowship with God again. He wants us to address it. What happened here in the garden? God came back to the place at the time. He's always there before, and He was there that day. Guess who moved? Adam and Eve did. It was because of Adam's absence that things weren't right. God hadn't gone anywhere. Brother David and our musicians come. Maybe you're here this morning and maybe you're walking step in step with God and this is not applicable to you at the moment, but every one of us are sheep. We have that tendency to get lost, to step away. So maybe this is just for future reference for some of us that, hey, when you do step away, why don't you correct it real quick and get right back? Because God's saying, where are you? Where are you going? Come back here. Maybe you're here this morning and it's just this hit the nail on the head for you. You're right. I've distanced myself from God. It didn't get better day by day. It got worse. And all of a sudden I'm looking up and I hadn't fellowship with God. Church hasn't been sweet. I've had no prayer life. I have no interest in the Bible. The things of God are just kind of foreign to me right now. If that's you this morning, you're in the right place at the right time because God is right here this morning saying, where are thou? I'm going to ask you to stand. God spoke into your heart for any reason. You're welcome to pray at these altars. You're welcome to pray right where you are. If you want to come through that line after church and I'm standing there and you say, Brother Chris, I'd like to talk to you, you can do that too. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If God spoke into your heart, you come.